Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Eternit SA conference call on the second quarter of 2015 earnings results. With us today in this conference call in São Paulo, Mr. Rodrigo Luss, Eternit's Chief Financial Officer and IR. This conference call is being recorded. All participants are on a listen-only mode. Later there will be a question and answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you need assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. This conference call is being broadcast live on http://www.eternit.com.br/ir. A slide presentation and the earnings release are also available on this website. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Actual performance could differ materially from those anticipated in any forward-looking comments as a result of macroeconomic conditions, market risks, and other factors. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Rodrigo Luss, Eternit's Chief Financial Officer and IR. Please, Mr. Rodrigo. Mr. Rodrigo? Good morning, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be with you again on this conference call on Eternit's second quarter 2015 earnings result. Let's start on slide number 3. I'd like to talk about the highlights of the second quarter 2015 regarding construction materials. There was a slump of 7% in the second quarter owing to less activity on the part of renovations and a slump in families' earnings and owing to the economic slump as a whole. As regards sales volume, the second quarter is seasonally a period of weaker demand. And despite the seasonal effect, we outperformed the industry on the same basis. So we reported a growth on the consolidated gross revenue of 2.9. The appreciation of the dollar played an important role in the growth of net revenue in addition to the prices of finished goods, I'm talking about the internal market, that offset the slump on volumes. So adjusted EBITDA increased by 15.5% against second quarter 2014. And another contribution came from a reduction in operating expenses of 2%. On slide number 4, talking about sales of chrysotile mineral, the volume fell by 5.3% compared with the same period last year, owing to the slump on the construction materials industry, particularly the demand for roofings on the domestic market. And the slump on the foreign front is connected to a slump in the Asian economy. This is why we closed the quarter with 66.8 million tons sold. Next slide, sales of fiber cement. Despite the adversity on the construction material industry and the seasonal effect I've just mentioned, the second quarter reported a 1.8% reduction, 187 million tons. So there was approximately a 2% decline from the same period in 2014. In the year to date, there was a slump of 0.4% in terms of volume, and the total sold was 400,000 tons. Slide number seven, we're talking about sales of concrete tiles. The decline continues. In the second quarter, we reported a 27% drop owing to the shattered confidence on the part of consumers, particularly consumers in classes A and B. Renovation works and construction activity really came to a halt. Construction companies as well have decreased their activity. Consumers that use concrete tiles really showed little demand. Owing to the lack of trust, we've had a reduction in the B2C channel and also a reduction in the B2B channel on the part of construction companies. The resale channel continues to perform strongly, but the growth on this channel was not enough in the second quarter to offset the bad performance of these two other channels. Slide number nine, consolidated net revenue. Our revenue in the quarter was 236 million, and this accounts for the 7.2% growth against 2014. The domestic market grew by 1%, and this basically refers to a price realignment to try and neutralize price pressures. This offsets the lower sales volume that we've reported in the second quarter of 2015. Net revenue was boosted by the export of Chrysotile. Net revenue grew by 36.8%. The appreciation of the dollar really helped. In this period, we've had the appreciation of the dollar to the tune of 38%. In the first half year, the net revenue grew 5%. Slide number 10, we're talking about COGS. This is a breakdown of the cost of goods sold. This gives you a snapshot of the breakdown of costs in each of the segments where the company operates. It's worth mentioning raw material and workforce, which are the most important items, in addition to the materials used in mining. In this chapter, the pressures on cost were power costs, inputs, and collective bargaining. These were the main items that brought up our cost over this period, in addition to a scheduled halt in one of the lines for maintenance purposes, as we wanted to capitalize on this lower demand period. These were the main aspects in terms of costs. In the second quarter, but as I mentioned before, we tried to realign prices to offset this pressure on costs. Now on slide number 11, adjusted EBITDA, it Adjusted EBITDA grew by 15%, owing to the growth of gross profit of 4.4%, and this also offsets lower sales volume over the same period, in addition to the appreciation of the dollar that boosted export revenues and the reduction in operating expenses of 2.4%. Those are the factors that enabled the company to have an adjusted EBITDA of 43.3 million. And year to date, we have 15.7% with EBITDA amounting to 93 million with a margin of 19%. In slide number 12, we talk about our net income. The net income for the second quarter was 16.8 million. This represents a contraction of 7.4% vis-à-vis the same period in the previous year. This was caused by a smaller net income. We're talking around 1.5 negative in comparison to 220,000 in the second quarter of 2014. The negative equity pickup relates to our ceramic fixture plant and suffers also the impact of the foreign exchange rates, affecting results adversely. We have the need to import some products to complement our portfolio. So the company makes use of its logistic capacity to meet the needs of all its clients in this segment of sanitary ware. And we believe that at this juncture, it's better to keep our client portfolio so that when our volumes are adequate in terms of production volumes, we can make the migration without losing any of our clients that we've been developing since we started operating in this segment. However, with the foreign exchange rates at these levels, we need to reflect and take strategic action so that we can neutralize this negative impact of the appreciation of the dollar. On slide number 13, we see our debt. We closed the period with net debt of 120 million approximately. This net debt is made up of the advances against forward FX contracts and advances for acquisition of machinery by the group. It's important to highlight that 88% of our debt is stated in dollars, and more than half of our debt in foreign currency relates to advances against draft presentation and forward foreign exchange contracts, and as such is naturally protected because it relates to orders placed. So our repayment schedule shows a concentration of repayments in 2015. So part of this debt relates to these advances and forward foreign exchange contracts. We are also taking some actions in order to protect and hedge our foreign exchange exposure in a natural way, never acting in a speculative manner, considering the options we have in the market. And we're working towards making the results in the first quarters of the year, in the next year, not be affected by foreign exchange variations. On slide 14, we turn to capital expenditures.
Mostly, investments were directed to maintaining our industrial complex, and they represented $13 million in the second quarter of 2015, and year to date, $27 million, of which $20 were slotted to the maintenance of our industrial facilities. On slide 16, we turn to our shareholding structure, which remains virtually unchanged if we compare it to previous presentations. We have a large share of individual investors. They represent 67%-68% of our shareholders. On this slide, I would like to call your attention to our main shareholders. We have Geração Elpar Holdings, 13.8%, Mr. Luiz Barsi Filho, with a stake of 13.75%, Mr. Victor Adler, 7.04%, directors, 1.25%, and treasury stocks, 0.03%. On the next slide, number 17, we disclose our net income versus distributed earnings in comparison to 2013, 2014, and the current period we're analyzing, the first and the second quarters of the year, considering year-to-date figures. In 2015, we have paid out $44.7 million. This is composed of payment of dividends and interest on equity for the first quarter of the year, and also the earnings, distributed earnings for the first half of the year. Payment is made on a quarterly basis, and considering the results we obtained in the second quarter, dividends were of 0.5 cents per share. This shows a decline of 50% in comparison to the 10 cents we had been distributing in the last 4 years. The company thought it best to reduce the dividends distributed, considering the results of the first half of the year and the economic slowdown in the country, which increases the level of uncertainty. And the company, together with the board, will review this policy on a quarterly basis at each end of quarter. So, considering the slowdown in the economy and the downturn in our results, we see that it was necessary to reduce our dividends payout. And at the end of each quarter, we'll analyze the previous 12 months and whether more dividends should be paid out to our shareholders. So we had a reduction of 7.7% in our yield throughout the year and a payout of 73%, which is higher than the year of 2014. As for Crisotil Minerals, slide 19, we had some legal considerations of Crisotil with no new facts in the picture that need to be discussed in this conference call. However, we would like to reinforce our belief in the Brazilian justice, and we maintain our expectation that considerations and practical facts will be taken into account in the ruling, in the final ruling. On page number 21, we see a number of recognitions, especially in the area of human resources and sustainability. which point out to our commitment to continue growing in the future in a sustainable manner. So these were our considerations on the second quarter earnings results, and we'll be very happy to take your questions at this point. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we shall now begin the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star zero. To remove your question from the list, please press star two. Excuse me. Our first question is from Mr. Sergio Simon. The reduction in the dividends payout and interest on equity is linked to the results of the second quarter, or are you reviewing your policy of dividends? Thank you very much for your question. The company's dividend policy, historically, we make quarterly payouts, so we consider both the dividends and the IOE. This reduction on our dividends payout is a result of the performance we had in the second quarter, coupled with the economic uncertainty phase the country is going through. Our management will review this policy every new quarter, and we believe it's prudent at this point to reduce the dividends. And at the end of the fiscal year of 2015, we will further discuss and analyze again this topic. So perhaps there will be a complement to the dividends, or there may not be one. Excuse me, our second question is from the webcast from Mr. Antonio Augusto Freitas from AAFM. Good morning. Could you tell us a little bit more about the asbestos lawsuit? Thank you very much for participating and for interacting with us by sending us your question. Well, in relation to the lawsuit, as I said, there are no new facts, nothing new to share with you. So the case is still being heard at the Supreme Court, and we are currently awaiting the judgment on the merits by the Supreme Court. As for the civil public lawsuits, there are no further developments either. So in fact, there's nothing new on this front. Excuse me. If you have a question, please press star one. Our next question is from Mr. Friedberg Kroger. Considering the current foreign exchange rates, should we expect an increase in export volumes? Thank you, Friedbert, for your question. We currently export our mining products, chrysotile, and we have a capacity of around 280,000 to 300,000 tons per year. And considering this cap on our capacity, this limitation, we are unable to increase the export volume we currently operate. So today, around 50% of our volumes is exported, and the other 50% go to the domestic market and is consumed by fiber cement companies. So what should we expect? Is a growth in revenue in comparison to the previous year because of the appreciation of P-tax? Excuse me. Our next question is from Mr. Matheus Moura. Tell us a little bit about the CSC, about CSC. When is it going to turn a profit?
Thank you very much for your question. Our joint venture every month is getting to more and more satisfactory levels in terms of productivity. This reinforces on us the certainty that we're on the right track. As I said, we've got a portfolio to meet and a certain number of clients, and this portfolio is supplemented with imported items. We are revisiting this process exactly to guard against a more negative result. Now, as regards our profit expectation, our policy is not to provide any guidances, but I can tell you that we're on the right track as soon as the site starts producing what we have planned, and we're very close. Excuse me. If you have any questions, please press star one. Thank you. Excuse me, our next question comes from Mr. Eduardo Magalhães. How do you plan to amortize 109 million still in 2015? Thank you very much, Eduardo, for your participation, for your question. These 109 million that we're going to pay in 2015 breaks down as follows. 90% of it is connected to advances on export and exchange contracts, and this is connected to our account receivables. As I said, this represents 90% of this total 109 million, and it's guaranteed. This is how we intend to repay that. For the other 10%, we'll use our own capital. Excuse me. Our next question comes from Mrs. Anna Hartley. I'd like to have more details about your export performance. Are you selling more to Russia owing to the depreciation? Could you talk about demand from the big markets of India and Indonesia?
Hello, Anna. Thank you very much for your question. As regards export performance of the company, we are under some pressure because the Asian market basically follows up daily the exchange rate scenario in Brazil. As the dollar appreciates against the real, they know all too well that they will have to disburse more dollars against their local currency because it will lose clout. And this puts a lot of pressure on us as regards keeping the price level. Now, vis-a-vis the objectives that we put ourselves late last year, our dollar nominated prices remained unchanged until now, and we expect they will not change. As regards India and Indonesia, because of the slump in those countries as well, we've reported a reduction of 2,000 tons in the second quarter of 2015. Now, looking at these two markets, we expect the scenario will not change. So we cannot see a market where we can unload greater volumes, particularly in India. However, on the other side, Russia, different from Brazil, has seen an appreciation of their local currency, and they have become more competitive vis-a-vis other countries. But against such a backdrop, our performance on exports has been very good. Excuse me. Our next question comes from Mr. Marcelo Rodriguez from Itaú. Owing to the economic outlook for the coming years, what do you expect will be the impact on the results of the companies, particularly in concrete tiles that had a sharp reduction? Thank you, Marcelo, for your question. Indeed, this segment took the pinch, suffered greatly, because the segment is geared to medium and higher income classes. This is a premium product. It's geared to those who already have their own house. So either they're building their second home on the beach, or, and owing to the economic uncertainties, these consumers prefer to wait and see where the economy is going and only later resume their construction or renovation project. And confronted with these challenges, the company has taken some measures. We are operating with We have gauged our activity to the demand of the market, and we have also dealt with our expenses, administrative and commercial and sales expenses, as regards the structure. So today, we have a very lean structure in the company, and from now on, at the current volume levels, I can say that we've hit break-even for the segment, and any additional volume that we sell in concrete tiles will boost our bottom line. Excuse me. To ask a question, please press star 1. Excuse me, our next question comes from Antonio Augusto Freitas, AAFM. In the event the court ruling is unfavorable to the company, could this have an impact on the company? Thank you very much, Antonio, for your question. First of all, the company is working very hard for this, to avoid this impact. But in the event we have to deal with it, something that is not justifiable and wouldn't make sense in a country that consumes where over 25 million dwellings use this material as covering. So no doubt there would be an impact on the company's results and obviously on the dividend payout. This is why the company is preparing just in case and diversifying with new projects. And we've been working hard to consolidate the investments made in recent years so as to have a greater array of options in the future.
Excuse me, our next question is from Mr. Saulo Cunha. Are there any projects to increase diversification in product lines? Thank you very much, Paulo, for participating. We always keep an eye out for the opportunities in the market. We consider new opportunities, but I should say that at this time, well, maybe it's not the best time to jump in. Unless a golden opportunity presents itself. So we'll give priority to the consolidation of the investments that we have planned, and after that, we can take the next step. Excuse me, should you have any questions, please press star 1. To ask question, please press star 1. Excuse me, if there are no further questions, I would like to hand it over to Mr. Rodrigo Luz for his final remarks. Well, before we close this conference call, allow me to highlight that from a historical perspective, the second half of the year is the one with more heated demand for our products. And if this premise confirms itself, in spite of the current slowdown, and if no more cost pressures appear in the second half of the year, we believe that our performance will be much better in the second half of 2015. I would like to thank you all for listening in at the IR team. At the company are available for any further clarification if you require. We wish you all a great weekend and see you all next time. We now conclude Eternit's conference call. We thank you all for listening in and wish you a great day.